This week's episode of Podfathers is brought to you by our friends at Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and much, much more. 50% of Health IQ customers save between 4% and 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Health IQ can save your customers 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart rate, 20% lower risk of cancer, and 58% lower risk of diabetes. You're a parent now if you're listening to Podfathers, or you're going to be one soon, or maybe you're not going to be one ever, but health insurance, life insurance are all important. You can check that out with healthiq.com/podfathers or mention the promo code Podfathers. You can use the promo code Podfathers whenever you talk to an agent if you give them a call. We've also gathered a lot of research and data that suggests that running, weightlifting, triathletes, all that health conscious bullshit, you can get some better results in your life if you go to healthiq.com/podfathers and see if you can save yourself some money, get some discounts on some shit with healthiq.podfathers/podfathers. There we go. Let's go.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Podfathers. I am in the studio in New York. Clem is doing daddy stuff still in the Great White North. How are you doing, Clem?
This is kind of a trip. Chaps is in New York, and I'm the one on Skype remotely from home. It's been a fucking disaster. I don't want to say a disaster of a week, but we were trying to get this episode.
It's been a disaster. We can be honest. We're in the honest tree right now. They all know. The show's coming out late. They all know it's been a disaster.
Like, I feel just flustered as fuck. I'm exhausted. I haven't even had my little morning shower. Chapsy's worn down from his team being in a fucking battle right now in the AFC. Absolute slobber knocker.
My beloved Jaguars are doing great. I went out with Cons, the crew from ZBT. We went down to Army Navy this week. So I came up Thursday morning, and normally Clem and I, we record the show Thursdays. Couldn't do it this week. Sienna was sick. Then I had to go down early Friday morning to Philadelphia. We were stuck in the snow. The snow was all over the place in Philadelphia. Came back last night. Now I'm here. I feel fucking wrecked, dude. Like, I'm legit like a 35-year-old. I think for a long time I hit it. I'm, like, legit getting close to my 40s now.
There's a little bit of age in these eyes this morning. I have to say that. I can see some age in those eyes. Usually the Chaps man is up and moving and feeling spry. You're also in the warm Texas weather. You're becoming a New Yorker right now. There's a little bit of edge to your voice, I feel. Like, that's kind of how it goes. It wears you down.
But you know what it is? I haven't had a bath in 5 days. Like, I've had a shower, but really not having a bath and not being able to relax affects my psyche big time.
You know, after hearing that Health IQ read, I, like, may have to just, like, I should probably be exercising and doing that stuff more, let's be honest, just to, like, ensure I live longer. If I could also save money, that will help, too. And it's just going to make me feel better. Like, I feel, like you said, every day I'm 35 years old right now, and I am just shot. We had, you said it earlier, we had ourselves quite a little spectacle. I believe it was Tuesday night. I feel like there's some parents on the podcast who may have never experienced this. I talked to 15-year-old Steve's parents who were in the office on Friday. I was in the office on Friday when you were down in Philly. And when your kid, you have your kid in your bed, and they throw up, it's like getting a sneak attack, basically. It was pure terror, shit raining from the sky. Sienna was puking brown with corn everywhere. Oh. We woke up just getting covered. My wife's taking it, like, just holding it in her hands and catching it like the champion she is. I'm here. I was like,
all up on her pregnant belly.
Yep. All up on her pregnant belly. New baby just doesn't know what the fuck's going on. He's inside the womb saying, what's this noise and sound that I hear? Big sister's just yakking all over
me. Sounds like the upside down out there.
Exactly. I'm jumping, like, I don't know why I do this. I don't know if you do this, Chaps. Like, when something crazy like that happens, like, I, like, accentuate everything I do. Like, I literally jumped to the light switch. Like, I didn't have to jump to the light switch. I could have just walked there. But I was, like, an action movie star. I thought I was John McClane. And it was, like, the weirdest thing ever. But you're, like, You don't know what the fuck's going on. Baby's crying, screaming. My wife's yelling because she doesn't know what the fuck's going on. I'm in full panic mode. I'm Costanza in a fire at this point. And it was just a goddamn disaster. Two full nights of her being like, she had the stomach bug. And like the entire time, every time she coughs, every time she has a dry heave, you're expecting, you know, our sheets are destroyed, bed destroyed, everything in our world destroyed at that point. And it was just, it's craziness. It's something that.
What brought it about?
It was, so I went, when I brought her back to school finally after a few days, I go there and I got my little sick sheet. Mm-hmm. Every single classroom, stomach bug. It runs through them. And I can't imagine Sienna was patient zero because these things, like, you know, this, those places are germ infested, you know, crazy holes. But it's better than her being with me because I had to work with her for 2 days where I was watching her and working. And, it, you know, it's impossible to do. It's absolutely impossible.
Because at that point, whenever they're sick, they're even more needy than normal. They're just like, oh, I need this. I need that. And you're just like, dude, just chill with the iPad on, the headphones. You're allowed to watch YouTube Kids. Like when McCartney's sick, she loves watching the unpacking stuff. We've talked about that before. Like if she can watch adults play with kids. Like, and if you do that, you're a fucking weirdo, first of all. If you're one of the people who, like, you know what I'm going to do to make a little money on the side? I'm going to play with toys. Like, I think that's a weird move.
Playing with toys is weird. Like, it's like you're like Tom Hanks and Big. Like, you're just kind of just the weirdo. At least he's like an 8-year-old in like a 38-year-old's body. But when you make that little weird noise, she's like, oh, it's Elsa!
Dude, it fucking drives me crazy. And my wife, too, like, she hates it. Like, she'll be in our kitchen and be like, McCartney, turn that fucking shit off. Like, you know you're not allowed to watch toys. So whenever McCartney's sick, she gets to watch toys. Like, it's her little treat to keep her happy. But she still wants so many things. She wants snacks because she's just going to take advantage, man. It's the worst.
That was the thing about Sienna that scared us is we're like, do you want to eat this? You want breakfast? You want that? And she's like, no. We're like, toast. She, like, you know, shoved down a piece of toast just because that was loaded with butter. And for a full day, she didn't eat. Then the next day, she slept till 9:30, which is unheard of in this house. She slept all the way till 9:30. She woke up, and I swear to God, the first thing she said to me, she goes, Daddy, I want breakfast, and I want lunch, and I want chicken, pasta, and a banana. And I was like, you're a Clem again, baby. You're out of the upside down, and you're back with me. And it was a beautiful thing to know. She had finally become back to my side of the equation of this fucking world. It
so
was,
she's back up and running now?
She's up and running. We took her to school this morning, and everything is, knock on wood, we Gucci for now. But this time of year, it's going to just keep coming. The hits keep on coming when it's winter out.
Yeah, dude. And not just when winter's out, not just whenever it's sick, but we had, if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, you know McCartney had a little bit of an incident this week. So we were at church last week, and in between like the little classes that they do alone and then like big church, I guess we would call it, they have a big playground that's awesome. All the kids go outside and play on the playground. Kelsey's usually responsible for keeping an eye on McCartney out there. And not really keep an eye on her, just like look over and make sure she's alive like every 5-10 minutes. Well, Kelsey helped her up on the monkey bars. Whenever she did it, McCartney was kind of nervous, so she slid her hand over to the side. And when she did that, her finger, her pinky got stuck in like a hole in the monkey bars. And when Kelsey let her go, the only thing that was McCartney was hanging onto was her pinky was like stuck inside of it. And it ripped her pinky out of socket and snapped her knuckle like in the middle. And she came running out. And to Kelsey's credit, Kelsey took a little bit of responsibility. Like, I was supposed to be watching her and she got hurt on my watch. Well, McCartney's like, no, you hurt my finger because you were being a bitch, like right at church. And I was like, oh my God, like we got to get McCartney out of here. It's going to be rough. So we start taking her and she's like crying, like legit real tears because she's in pain. Like it ripped her finger out of socket. Like that shit hurts. But to my wife's credit, my wife knew she was really like injured. It was like hurt or injured or just upset because. But in my defense, because I said, no, we shouldn't go to the hospital right away. I was like, let's let her calm down for a minute. We'll see if she needs to go to the hospital. There's not really a difference between now and an hour from now with this type of injury.
Yep.
So I said, let's just go home. We'll give it a minute to rest. Well, she gets there because McCartney fucking screams no matter what, dude. Like, we can be riding in the Tahoe and she to the same level when she broke her finger, she'll scream because her back's hot in her car seat. Like, she'll be like, my back is hot. This is awful. I'm sweating. And just going to the moon. And it's the same exact noise that she was making when she broke her finger. My wife says it's different. She was like, no, you could really tell she was hurt. I could not tell that she was hurt because she acts like a psychopath all the time.
I feel like the other thing, too, is like because she was outside with Kelsey. It's like a little bit of like a maybe she's digging in trying to get Kelsey extra in trouble here by really playing it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we go home and then I look at her finger again, like after she had sat down on the bed for like 20 minutes and I could see that it was like starting to form like a red bruise on the inside. I was like, OK, we need to take her now. So my wife takes her to the hospital because I was going to. Because usually when it's something rough like that, like I take her. Because if it's going to be shots or something like that, mama doesn't want anything to do with legit crying baby. Like she's like, I can't handle it. She's like, makes me too emotional. You need to do this. This is your thing. Well, yep. McCartney was not having me go with her. I think because I was like, I think she's going to be okay. She's like, you didn't believe me. So she didn't want me to.
You're Mike Shanahan and she's RG3. She's like, I'm hurt, man. Take me out of the game. And you just threw her back in there to keep getting hit.
Yeah, she wanted to fucking go, dude. Like, she didn't want me to go with her. So I was like, all right, mom, you can. Mama went. Well, Kelsey's upstairs, like, cleaning up. I was like, you should do something nice for your sister since she got hurt. Her room still needs to be cleaned. Why don't you pick up her room for her? So I go upstairs, like, a few minutes later to check on the progress of everything. And Kelsey's crying. Like, she's crying up there. I'm like, is she crying because she has to do more chores? Like, what's going on here? Well, she's crying because she's upset that she hurt her sister. She's like, this is the second time I've put her in the hospital. Like, I'm a terrible big sister. Like, she felt bad. It's like, finally, some legit remorse from somebody in this fucking family. Like, finally, two of my daughters, like, actually look like they care about each other. So when McCartney came home from the hospital, and she had, like, her cast on. Kelsey gave her, like, a big hug. And they watched TV for, like, 2 hours together sitting on the couch, like, getting along fine. So McCartney breaking her finger was, like, peace. And then the next day it was gone back to being bitches to each other.
I like to know that, like, I feel like in, like, sitcoms that would happen is, like, someone would get hurt and then, like, the siblings would bond. And I always thought that was bullshit. I'm like, why the fuck would you bond? But it turns out
it's real.
Real.
Yeah, it's real. I was surprised at how much. Like, she was even, whenever we were eating, she was like, McCartney, do you need me to help you cut your chicken so you can have it smaller chicken bites so you can use just your other hand? And I was like, what in the fuck is going on here? Like, you guys are being legit nice to each other.
Kelsey is like one injury away from being known as the Black Widow, though. Like, sooner or later, you can't keep getting your sister injured on the playground or doing whatever. Like, you have to do that. And the other thing is, this is a thing I think a lot of parents go through, and I just want to let new parents out there know. It's always one of those things where when you are trying to figure out if you should take a kid to the ER or not, you're like, I don't want to be the parents that bring a kid for the sniffles every time to the ER, but you also don't want to be the person that has like a fucking baby turning blue and you're like, I don't know if we should bring him or not. So every parent goes through this kind of thing, and Chaps is still going through it. And the second one, like, it's tough. It's a tough thing to do every single time.
When the kid's not, when they can't like vocalize exactly what happened and they're like, neither one of my kids could spit out what happened. We didn't find out what happened till hours later, until McCartney was like legit calmed down because she couldn't talk about it, like what actually happened. And you don't know what's going on in their little brains. Like, she makes shit up all the time. Like, she said that there's a dinosaur at school. I know for a fact there's not a dinosaur at school. So I'm not sure, like, her story of recounting what happened, that it literally, she was like, it ripped my finger off. Like, I can see your finger there. It's not ripped off.
I swear to God, Chaps, if I found out there was a dinosaur at that school, this is going to age very poorly, this podcast.
Old Takes Exposed is going to get my ass for sure.
Oh, man.
It's been a rough week, and then I had to leave, and I felt really guilty about that, too. Like, this is one of the more guilty ones that I've left, because that happened on Sunday. She had her reevaluation on Thursday while I was on my way up here on Thursday. So mom's taking care of all that shit by herself. And you feel bad, man. Like, sitting in a hospital with a kid stinks, dude. Even if it's just like a wellness visit, if you're just doing a regular checkup to get your 6 months or 12 months, just going into the doctor's office with a child is horrific. Going to the doctor with a child like McCartney, whenever she knows she has to get more x-rays and they're going to fuck around with her hand that hurts. My wife is a saint, man. I don't know how she does it.
Auntie Chaps is, she's a ride or die. We know this, man. She's going back to, you know, the old Facebook DMs that were going between you guys back in, you know, the courting days. If
there
you
we
may.
Go.
You knew she was a keeper then, and she's a keeper now. And the video of you guys, like you missed snow too. Like
yeah,
you missed
dude.
Their first
it's,
snow.
What are the odds of that? I come up to New York and it snows in San Antonio. And they send me pictures, and the kids wanted me there, obviously, because I think I would get a little bit more nuts in the snow with them. But it stunk not being there. Because you don't
who was it? What? Was it little Gus? Gus didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, Gus was upset. Gus, because Gus hates the cold anyway. And we live in Texas. It's not like it's super cold there. But if it gets below like 55 and I open the door, the gust hits Gus like in the face, and he just like turns around. He's like, nah, dude, I'm not going out. Well, she had to like force him outside to go to the bathroom, like in the morning. Like, you got to go out, dude. So he immediately finds like a non-snowy patch in the yard, looks directly into the sun, and it was like he knew he was going to go viral by like pouting his ass off so he could come back inside. That's his life, dude. He's just a pouter. That's why I love him so much.
You got to go to Uncle Chaps on Instagram and just see the reaction video. I mean, it warmed my heart. I showed my wife. We were just fucking loving it. Anytime you can record someone seeing snow for the first time, do it. Like, just take the phone out immediately and do it. I had a buddy when I was at ESPN. He saw snow for the first time. He was like 27 years old, and it was like the most magical thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, he was from Valdosta, Georgia. He's like, oh, my God, son. It's snowing from the sky right now. It's like Miracle on 34th Street. And I'm like, yes, let's fucking go, baby. And like, meanwhile, like me, it snowed this weekend for me. And I'm like, I fucking hate this goddamn snow. It's the white devil right here.
I mean, McCartney had like legit joy in her voice. Like, it was joy. Like, she was so happy to see it because she's talked about it a lot. Like, she wanted to go someplace for Christmas where she could possibly see snow. So her going out there with her puffy little jacket with her splint arm, like running around, like just running through, like couldn't even talk, couldn't even put together words. It was just random howls of joy.
For a few hours, that knuckle was nothing. There was not an ounce of pain felt from that knuckle. It was a beautiful thing.
Not at all. You want to move into some, we have a mailbag, right?
Yeah, we got some mailbags. It's the winter season. So with the winter season comes some holiday talk, or I believe they're saying it now, Christmas talk.
Yep, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, chaps, to you and yours. First thing first, we have one from Brian. All right, the name Brian. What are we thinking about the name Brian here, first of all?
That's a wet paper bag name.
A wet paper bag name? Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. I think Brian's like a nice base. It's like a 7 out of 10. Like, you're good if you got the name Brian, in my opinion. The only thing is,
I think it's a perfect 5. Like, it's just right
really?
There. It's just like, I think it. Brian is Bill for people under 50.
Hmm.
Or 40, I guess.
My only problem with Brian is you don't know if it's an I or a Y. There's people I've known my whole life that I get their I and Y confused all the time.
If you're Brian with a Y, you're a tryhard. Like, that's.
I think you're a badass. You think you're tryhard, huh?
I think you're tryhard, yeah.
Fair enough. So Brian's of the world, the Uncle Chaps of the Clumberport. Make sure to let us know on Twitter. What do you think about, I always felt Brian's with an I were too proper. They're like, oh, my name's Brian with an I. I'm the real Brian.
They know their name stinks and just going with the classic version, I think.
This is my thoughts on like names that have differences. Like our pal Cons, Captain Cons. There's like Connor with two N's, Connor with one N. If whoever the biggest Connor in the world is at that time, that's the way the name is spelled. Like Connor McGregor with one N, currently one N Connors rule the world. If another Connor comes around and is bigger than Connor McGregor with two N's, then two N Connors rule the world. Do you think that's a fair?
I've never given much thought to the one N, two N's discussion, but I hate Connors with an ER.
Oh. Yeah, that's a rough one. Those kids are fighting from the hospital on the delivery spot.
You can put this down in gold. I'll never be friends with somebody who's Connor with an ER.
But note that. Now, again, Uncle Jeff's on Twitter. You are not his friend. You may follow him, but he is not your friend. Connor.
Yeah.
Or Jeff's. G-offs are tough, too. G-offs are very tough. G-E-O-F-F.
Oh, no, get the fuck out of my face. Jeff with a G. You motherfuckers.
There is no one, like, you won't be friends with a Connor. You will.
I won't even associate. They won't even be my associate.
They're all your enemies, I think, almost.
Oh,
like,
without, yeah.
You have to have a grudge towards them. All right. So, Brian, semi-new to parenting here, stepdad-to-be. Stepdad-to-be. Wow. Okay. The little guy lives with us full-time, and now that it is the most majestic time of the year, Christmas season, is it wrong to use the old Santa trick or making the elf on the shelf out to be a spy? So we already talked about weaponizing Santa and how you have to do that. But the elf on the shelf, he's not a bad kid, but he can act up just like any other kid. Appreciate the advice. So basically, for anyone who doesn't know, like I didn't know this before my family started having kids. There's the elf on the shelf. He's a little fucking doll you see probably on your Instagram or Facebook. And you put him up somewhere in the room. The kids can't touch him. If you touch him, he loses his magic. He reports to Santa. He's a snitch. And he goes around the room every night. You have to change his position. Sometimes you could have him get into some hijinks. He can rip some toilet paper apart. You could have him, like, puking his guts out. Our boy Joey's been doing the Podfather show. And he's been having people. Yeah, have him eating ass. Yeah, whatever you want to do to kind of keep it fun for you. But then with the kids, basically, he's acting as like a security system for Santa, like a video camera. And he will tell Santa anytime they're being bad, the elf goes back to the North Pole and says, listen, naughty list. Fucking little Tommy, little Brian with a Y, naughty list.
Yep.
And if they're good, he says they're nice. So that's how it goes. So are you pro elf on the shelf or anti elf on the shelf?
Very against it. Fuck the elf. I hate the elf on the shelf. I always have. I don't like people who try to establish new traditions. I think trying to establish that for the purpose of especially consumerism. That's straight up consumerism there. I don't like that. I don't like that elf on the shelf. I don't participate in it. I don't want somebody spying on my kid. Like you want, it's basically the toy version of the NSA. Don't tread on me, fucking elf on the shelf.
I will say consumerism and Christmas do happen to go hand in hand, unfortunately. That is
a bit,
that
yeah. Some say.
I'm with you on this. I was anti-elf on the shelf the first time I heard it, more because it was one of those things where I was like, I wish I had thought of that 10 years earlier, because that's just, it's a shitty little toy that they can sell for $30 because the idea that comes along with it. I always like hearing the names. The names always crack me up. But my buddy told me a story. We were talking about Elf on the Shelf this weekend with him, and he said the first time they had their Elf on the Shelf, and they told him, if you stay up late, if you do this, you know, you're going to get in trouble. And the kid said, all right, nice to meet you, elf. Daddy, I want to go to bed. And it was 6 p.m. She was terrified of the elf on the shelf. So you're definitely going to cause some issues with your kids, potentially trust issues. There's like a straight up like spying your house. Like that probably causes some issues.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Like some of our friends, they switch the meaning where it's just like a magical elf that tries to make you laugh. And it plays hide and go seek with their kids like at night. It's not mm-hmm. that he's there like hanging out and they're allowed to touch it and play with it. Because some people, you're not even allowed to touch it. Like you're not allowed to touch the elf all day. It just sits there and watches you. Like that's insane, man. Like so my friends, the dad hides the elf somewhere new every day. They have four daughters, which is insane, by the way.
Oh.
They have four daughters and he hides the elf somewhere every morning. And every morning the kids, like through holiday season, they have to get up and find their elf. And whenever they do, it's just like they're playing hide and go seek and they go look for it every day. So it's a game that they play. I think that kind of stuff is cool. But making your kids think that there's some elf that's like watching you do everything is messed up. And I've thought about this more, Clem. I'm ready to have this take out in the world.
Let it out.
Weaponizing Santa is actually bad. Because one, you're teaching kids like, say, for instance, kids that are in our, like, socioeconomic group, like, with you and I, and, like, you make a decent amount of money, like, you're middle-class kind of person, upper-middle-class. Whenever you have Santa being, like, you don't get stuff if you're bad, like, the poor kids are all bad? Like, you're teaching that poor kids are bad. And McCartney had that in her head because, like, at our church, we have this little giving tree thing where we take off little names and then we bring presents for like four or five different families that can't afford it, that live in South Texas, that just don't have a lot of money. And that's the only presents they get all year. So we're like, these are the and we're trying to explain to McCartney why we're buying these presents for other kids. She's like, well, why doesn't Santa bring them presents? Like, aren't they bad? She's like, are they bad? So you're teaching children, like, if you're bad, you don't get presents. So then they automatically assume like poor kids are bad.
It's a fair point. It is a very fair point. My counterpoint is kids can be fucking assholes sometimes, and you're at your wit's end. That's
you are, and I understand.
Really
yeah, and I have weaponized Santa in the past. I will probably continue to do it in the future, but just as like a philosophy's sake, I don't think that's a good thing to teach, that if you're good, you get stuff, because that's not the way that the world works either. Like, just being a good person doesn't assure that you're going to have great things. I mean, look at, there's so many people who are, Harvey Weinstein, for example, complete fucking dirtbag and lived a life of complete luxury for years.
Yep. Yeah, that's a fair point. We also have overused it. Like I said, we were doing it back like before Thanksgiving, and it's already, she doesn't even blink twice when like Santa's not coming.
Well, technically, it was Christmas season on October 12th.
Oh, that's right. I stand corrected, my friend. I stand corrected. My wife actually, we got, she said, do you want to do Elf on a Shelf this year? I said, no. I said, I think she's too young. And I said, honestly, I don't have like the brain power to like move him to a new spot, have him do something wacky every morning. So she's like, all right. Then she's in the attic getting our lights, and she found a reindeer, which is basically the knockoff version of the elf. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that with her. And then the next morning, the reindeer was out, and my wife literally loves doing it. And she's done some fun stuff. Like the day after Sienna puked, she put the reindeer on top of a chalkboard and wrote, get better, Sienna. And that's all Sienna talked about the entire day. Whenever I like talked to my parents or someone called on the phone, the reindeer wrote to me. And she like pointed out like 100 times when she was home that day, Daddy, the reindeer wrote, get better. I'm going to feel better because the reindeer said so, which was cool. And again, we can then weaponize it, which we did yesterday, because she doesn't fucking fall asleep in her own bed. And the reindeer now is in front of the door, and he says a note, and it says, Sienna, Santa wants you to sleep in your bed, or else it's not, you know, you have to sleep in a big girl bed. So I see both sides of where this is coming from.
Now, for the record, I just try to get high and mighty on everybody by saying that that's the right thing to do. Let me go back a few years and tell you what we have done in the past and did last year, and we'll probably bust it out soon because it's time. There's this little app that you can put in the kid's name. Like, so for you, you could put in Sienna, and you could even do pronunciation. Like, if Santa does it wrong on the app, you can change like the emphasis on the different words of where it says. So it says your kid's name correctly. You put in your kid's birthday. So Santa is like on there, and it's a real life looking dude who looks just like what you would picture the perfect Santa Claus to look like. And he's like, and it calls you like a FaceTime, makes the same exact FaceTime noise, and you tell it to, and then it does it. So you could set your phone down and walk back so your kids don't even see you calling. You could be like, call me at 7:45 tonight, and it'll do it at 7:45. You pick up, and it's like, hello, can I speak to Sienna? And then it pauses for a second, and you're like ready with your kid. Hi, Sienna, I see that you're turning 4 this year. And that you would like, and you put it, and previously you put in whatever toy she wanted, and you want this for Christmas. Is that right? And they're like, yeah, Santa. And it gives them a second to answer, and like, good. Well, I hope you're being a good girl and eating all your vegetables. I am, Santa. I am. But this last night, you didn't sleep in your own bed, did you? And then their eyes like get like big as fuck, and she's like, oh, shit. So we did that to McCartney last year, and it was one of the big things that helped her get like in her bed all the time. So sometimes that shit works.
Shout out to that. We'll put that in like the description, the name of that app. We'll have to put that in for any fucking parents that need a little hand this holiday season in terms of getting their kids to do shit that they don't want to do.
It's pretty diabolical.
Shout out to whoever made that app. All right. Next up, this is our next question from Justin. What do you think of the name Justin?
I mean, I don't want to give it.
Honest tree. Truth tree.
I think it's okay. I mean, it's just okay. It's
I don't think it's even okay. I think it stinks. I've never liked the name Justin. Timberlake and Bieber saved the name from what it was. And Tuck, my boy Justin Tuck. Justin is not a very good name. I've never liked it. Hypothetically speaking, if I was to be named Justin, I would hate it. And I've just never been a big fan of Justin. And I think it's had a renaissance in the 2000s. But I think growing up in the 80s and 90s, Justin was a very weird name would have been a very weird name to have.
Well, it's hard because there's not very many nicknames that naturally flow off of Justin, too.
Yeah, it's just. Yep. Hey, just. That's all it is. So, not all a big fan. So Justin, I'd say bad would be my rating on the chap scale.
I think it's okay.
Okay, fair enough. Justin says, big Santa debate in my house. I believe Santa should wrap presents. Wifey says, no, we should have everything displayed, unwrapped for the kids Christmas morning. Which side are you on? Isn't part of the excitement unwrapping presents? That's how it was for me.
This is I love this question because this one's a near and dear to my heart. I think, one, parents don't get enough credit for Christmas. Like if you buy your kids several gifts, then you don't get enough credit if you unwrap everything. Because they're like, well, Santa got me all this stuff, and all you got me was like socks and underwear. Your Christmas are lame. Fuck Santa. Santa's not getting the credit. Santa can get one gift, and it's going to be like an okay gift. It'll be like a toy of some sort that's going to be unwrapped. The rest of it is going wrapped under the tree, and they know it's coming from me and Mama. That's how it goes down.
That I agree with that, because like I remember when I was a kid, my parents, you know, like probably like January 3rd, we go to the toy store. I'd be like, Mom, can I get this toy? And she'd be like, no, you just got, you know, Christmas just came. I'm like, Santa brought all that shit. That shit was free. And then she'd be like, no, Santa left a bill. And I'm like, what kind of a dick leaves a bill if like he's a magical guy that just has all these toys done for him? So I agree. You should go maybe one to two like bigger gifts from Santa. The rest, wrap them up, Mom and Dad. If you don't want to wrap all your gifts, especially the big gifts, so like this year, Sienna, if you're listening, spoiler alert, turn off the podcast. This year, Sienna's getting a big girl bed because we have to use her old bed for the baby, the upcoming baby. And we're just going to build the whole bed, keep it in her new room, which is going to be locked. We're going to lock it like the 23rd and just keep it in there, put a bow on it and say, Santa brought you that. Chaps, you're a big person in terms of building some gifts that you can the night before, right? Or beforehand, so you don't have to waste your Christmas doing it, right?
Actually, this year, I don't think we have a single buildable gift.
Oh, that's clutch.
Because
good work by you guys.
We got, okay. This is probably my proudest moment of all the Christmas things that we've done. This is going to, so because we work at Barstool, like we get free shit sent to us, like from different clothing brands or whoever, cooking stuff, like they'll send just different random shit. Well, everything that I knew I wasn't going to use, whenever I got it, I put it up in the closet, like just put it up in our closet. So we had like Soyvee cookers, like we had sweatshirts, jeans, jackets, like all kinds of stuff that I just wasn't going to use. We put all that stuff to the side. We had almost every single gift that we buy for like all 30 family members without paying for anything. So whenever my wife was like, let's go look for the kids for shopping, somebody sent McCartney this huge Lego set that makes a yellow submarine, like a Lego thing.
Oh,
that's like a $100 Lego set. So that's like one of her big gifts. And then she had, there was something else that came. So the only thing that we really bought McCartney that was big was this huge set of like different kinds of tractor and construction stuff. Cause she loves that. Every time we drive by like a construction site, she like wants to go play on that shit. I'm like, you will literally die. So, so we don't let her do it. But we had all kinds of Christmas stuff that was, all you have to do is take the top of the box off and it's ready to go this year. Like all of her toys are ready to go.
That is clutch, man. I'm dreading building this bed already.
First year in 12 years that's first ever year. Happened.
So don't get used to it is what you're saying. This is probably a little blip in the radar. Yeah. I think that personally, if you want, I think you should wrap some gifts. I don't think like leaving just a full fucking like haul and you just like even keep them in the Amazon boxes at the very least. Like, let these kids get a little something on Christmas. But I think you should wrap basically whatever isn't from Santa. If you want to throw a few things from Santa, say that old fucking guy, he didn't have time to wrap. He's going around the goddamn world. And everything else you can wrap from Mom and Dad, which, again, is a pain in the ass. I can understand. This is the thing, though. Like we always say with Podfathers, when your family tradition and your spouse's family tradition or significant other, there's going to be overlap. There's going to be differences. There's going to be like shit that you're going to just have to basically compromise in the end or just listen to your wife, which is probably the smartest thing. But compromise, like, I don't know. I couldn't imagine not unwrapping gifts. That Nintendo 64 reaction doesn't happen if those kids just see it laying under the tree.
Yeah, because all those little fuckers are going to be waking up in the middle of the night to come downstairs anyway to check out what's not wrapped. So what's not wrapped, you have your stocking. And you have, like, one gift or two gifts.
Yeah.
That's it.
If you want to spoil it. And, you know, once they get older, they're going to see it. I still remember the first time I found the fucking gift lot. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I did some snooping. And it fucking ruined Christmas.
It does. It ruins it for yourself.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine doing that on Christmas Eve. Like, you should have that sleepless night. Like, were you like me? Could you sleep on Christmas Eve? I couldn't sleep on Christmas. It was the worst. It was the most torturous thing every single year.
Yeah, I was up. I was up pretty early. I was staying up and trying to just figure out what I got. And I was always, but my parents didn't wrap a lot of the gifts. Like they did probably, there's probably three or four that they unwrapped. It was always like a really big one from Santa and the rest was from them.
Yep. So I don't know, man. That's I'm sure we're going to have a lot of Christmas stuff. Tweet us your, like we said, the Buddy the Elf. If you have the Elf on the Shelf, whatever they're called, at Podfather's Show. If you have some weird scenarios you're putting them in. We had some ass eating. We had one just puking after tequila. We have a bunch of stuff. So at Podfather's Show and on Instagram as well.
You know what I love? One of my favorite things, a favorite Christmas tradition, not that we do, but I think it's Jimmy Kimmel who does the parents let their kids unwrap something early and there'll be like a thing of yogurt in it or like an orange or a potato. Yeah. Those fucking get me every time, dude. I think, well, let's move into, that'll be my bedtime story today. You ready?
Okay.
All right. So bedtime story starring little Miss Kelsey Bell. Kelsey was five and a half-ish. And we let, and it was, I think it was the second Christmas that Annalise and I were together and married. So we were in our new house and we wrapped up, I think it was a potato or it was something stupid, something, maybe it was peaches. And Kelsey opened up the peaches and she was like, oh my gosh. She was like, you guys know I love peaches so much. She's like, that's so nice. And she went on for like 5 or 10 minutes on video. I hope I could find it, about how much she loved this peaches present. It was like meant so much to her and it was so genuine, just because Kelsey is like the opposite of McCartney, where she's just so inherently sweet. She's kind of turned into a bitch now that she's getting to be a teenager, but before she was super, super sweet and just appreciated everything, where McCartney's like, next. She just doesn't care.
Sienna still like geeks out about like sweaters and socks for like presents, and you're like, oh man, please never change. But they're gonna change. It's Kelsey turning into a teenager is going to be one of the most, like, I'm the most interested for like that dynamic and seeing how this.
We are officially at the point where my wife and daughter wear the same size shoes, so they're having like some battles because Kelsey is trying to like, oh, I need to wear black like pumps to school. I don't have any. Can I wear yours for my choir concert or my band concert? My wife's like, no, bitch. These are like $60 pumps. Like, you're not wearing these things. Like, go find your Payless bullshit.
Go get a job, motherfucker. You can wear whatever you want when you buy it. my story, bedtime story these days, is kind of coming back to with the sleeping thing. So Sienna's just, I don't know if it's a girl thing, if it's just her age, or if it's just she just had like had a few rough weeks, maybe the sickness, I don't know. She's getting really emotional. Every time we like, she'll just say no to us. She'll get like, she'll start, she's like Manu Ginobili. She just flops. Anytime we say no to her, or we say she can't watch something, or we say a movie's over, even when the credits start in a movie, we turn the TV off, she just cries and is like, I want more. And she just goes down and whatever and just cries fucking like a nuclear explosion every time. It's crazy. But the one thing that, and then we have to yell at her and it's a whole back and forth. And then we have to like weaponize Santa, use the reindeer. We're using every trick in the book right now. However, the one thing that kind of like gets us from like being really pissed off at life is when she finally relents, which is after a while, she will do this. She'll go, Sienna, like, you have to go to bed now. And she'll go, okay. Just like, and she sounds just like a little girl, Little John. It is the funniest thing ever. And then she'll say, we'll go, are you ready for bed now? And she'll go, yeah. And it's like,
okay. Looking back,
okay. And it's like, looking back now, she might have heard. Remember when I had to turn?
Yeah.
Turn the fucking Little John of the East Side Boys from the windows to the wall. She might have heard that from inside the womb. And I've failed as a father if that's the case. But she turns into a little baby girl version of Little John, which is pretty fucking adorable, even though like we both want to strangle her whenever she's doing the shit she does. So
last Christmas where it's all about Sienna, too.
Yeah, it's good. That's going to be there's a lot of big warning signs coming.
Does she have any other cousins that are close by, or is she like the apple of everybody's eye right now?
She has two that are older, like 6 or 7 years older. She has one that is 2 years younger, and then one that's like
okay.
a newborn.
Well, there's
so
a whole
she's
squad.
Kind of in the mix. Because
Kelsey had that when she was the only one for my mom. Well, I guess not. I guess I have other family members too. But like her mom's mom, and then my wife's now's parents as well. She was the only grandkid on that side for like 5.5 years. So everything revolved around Kelsey. And then when McCartney came in, she had to like separate and be like not the center of attention at all. So that was a struggle. At least Sienna won't have that.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see how it all goes, but we'll see. I could already tell she's not thrilled about the idea of a brother. She's excited, but not thrilled, if you know what I mean.
Who is? All right, that's the episode. We'll see you guys next week.